I've got joy, joy, joy. So you see why I said that can be
joy,
Jesus' joy?
Joy overflows.
I don't even need Kenny.
In my life.
Don't worry. Let them sing.
I've got joy, 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 joy overflows in my life. I've got joy, 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 joy overflows in my life. I've got joy, 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 joy overflows in my life.
Father, we give you praise. Thank you for your ever abiding presence. Hallelujah to your name, Father. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. And when it's full, it is evident. Amen. When it's present, it is evident. When it's full, you cannot deny it. Amen. We give you all the praise. Even as we sit and we learn at your table, thank you, because indeed you minister unto us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Welcome to church. Thank you for coming to church. Amen. And those online, you are welcome as well. Thank you for being there. Hallelujah. I almost was not going to say anything anymore after Mrs. Ajori prayed. Because while I was praying, when I was preparing for this meeting, all he said to me that he was not done with Romans 15, verse 4. Amen. If you were in church on Sunday, you wave your hand. Okay, so you remember Romans 15, verse 4? Or you can't remember it? If you're here when we're praying, wave your hand. So you remember Romans 15, verse 4? Is Remy ready? Are you using you have your own question paper or Mr. Sajeri's own? Hallelujah. So she's doing her own exam. Romans 15, verse 4. I'm going to read to you. It says, for whatever... Okay, give me the NKJV first. It says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning. And oftentimes, that's where we all stop. That whatever were written before was written for our learning. And learning is a difficult thing for us. It's not difficult, but for us, in our own interpretation, learning is a difficult thing. And what you mean by it was written for our learning. So that things have happened, okay, and then they have been written so that we can learn from it. And when you learn, you gain knowledge and you get wisdom. Okay? Hallelujah. I think I've told you before, when we were growing up, my younger brother had this fascination with candlelight. Okay? So it's not like today that you have power for, if I say now, some people say it's where you are living. So you have power for 18 hours, even 12 hours. It's not like now, then once it's 5, 6 p.m., it looks like it's dark. So you can find either a lantern or candlelight, and then you put it on. And my little brother felt that candlelight was so fascinating. And each time it was on, he loved the yellow part. If you know candlelight, the yellow part is either at the bottom or top. And actually, let me teach you some little science. So when you put on a candlelight or lantern and you see yellow flame and blue flame, the yellow one is not combusting properly. There's no oxygen. The blue part is combusting well. So in case you look and say, there's always yellow and blue, it's because of the combustion. So that's why when you put on your lantern, you put out all the wick, everything just go black and misty and very dark and very yellow, and then when you drop it, it comes blue, and then you have light. Okay, and the same thing happens with your gas cooker. So if you have your gas cooker and it's bringing yellow flame, please open it up and clean it. That's carbon. Okay, so that's for free. That's not part of the service. It's free. Okay, so everything was written for our learning, and when we come to church, we come to learn. Amen. So it's for our learning. So my little brother will stick his finger in fire, and truly, if you check it, if you put it in the yellow one, I can't remember if it's the yellow one. That one is not as painful as the blue part. So you can try it, okay? But don't come and tell me the result. So if my little brother was here, I would have told him to try it for you because he was just good at it. And then when he sticks his finger in it, he's going to come back and say, Jojo, Jojo, you know? And that's how he got his nickname. So today, when my uncles, that are 1995, when they will call him, they call him Jojosko. Because every time, and everybody's house he went to, once he sees candlelight, he's going to try to do that, and he's going to let everybody know that this thing is, he can burn you, okay? And so that's how he learns, okay? So when anything is happening to him, and you see, when you hear him say Jojo, you know that that thing is painful, and it's as painful as when fire is burning you. So each time you hear him say that, and there's no candlelight around him, you know that there's trouble, okay? So you learn, you pick it up. Bible says these things were written for our learning, and oftentimes we stop there because we want to make people understand another portion of the scripture that we want to read. So they say, this everything that were written before were written for our learning, and then we stop. But the Bible says and goes on to say that we through the patience and the comfort, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Let's go to the Amplified version. Amplified Classic. It says, for whatever reason was thus written. Are you sure this is Amplified Classic? Whatever reason was thus written in former days, were written for our instruction, that by our steadfast and patient endurance, okay, and the encouragement drawn from the scriptures, we might hold fast to and cherish hope. Hallelujah. By our steadfast and patient endurance and the encouragement drawn from the scriptures, we might have hold fast to and cherish hope. Can I have the New International Version? So there are two parts to this scripture, and the two parts are very important. So for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Amen. And this is where I'm going. That in the scriptures, through the endurance taught in the scripture, okay, and the encouragement they provide, hallelujah, we might have hope. Amen. So your case is not hopeless, except you decide not to go to the things that you are reading before in the past and then be taught by those things, so that you may learn endurance and encouragement from the scriptures. So if you say that everything is also blessed, then it is evident now to you and I that it can only be hopeless if you do not have the scripture to hold on to. Amen. If you have not learned from the scripture, then the circumstances you find yourself in will become hopeless to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, these things I said on Sunday, they are not mere words. Okay, they are not words of mouth that we just speak so that we encourage you. In fact, there's no word I'm going to speak that will encourage you except the word that comes from the scripture. Because right there in front of you in your Bible, it says that you draw encouragement from where? From the scriptures. And that's why when you are encouraging anybody, you cannot encourage anybody outside the word of God. Amen. Say, I'm just encouraging you. And then you begin to take things outside the scriptures. That person cannot find any encouragement. In fact, it will be more of disaster for that person. Your experiences may be born out of your own reliance on the scripture. And when you are teaching people from your own experience, then please open the scriptures. Hallelujah. Open the scriptures so that they can learn that, you know what, there is endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement that endurance provides. So, what there's, you know, in this present state that Nigerians find themselves, I mean, I'm not a Nigerian. In this present state that Nigerians find themselves, they need encouragement. Hallelujah. And the news out there is not any news that gives you encouragement. Okay? The only news that gives you encouragement is the gospel. Hallelujah. It's the good news. But there's no good news outside of the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. Just stay here. I mean, don't go to another classroom. Just stay there. Okay? So you give me Psalm 119, verses 49 and 50. If anybody is encouraging you, and is encouraging you from secular experiences, you are not going to get encouraged. If anybody is going to teach you about perseverance and encouragement, it is the one that the scripture provides. Hallelujah. Psalm 119. Please, I said, go to Psalm. I release you now. Go to Psalm 119 from verse 49. It says, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. Hello, hold on. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. If you go back to Romans 15, verse 4, it says the last thing it talks about is that you may find hope. Okay? Now, if you look at this, it says, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. Hallelujah. And that's why Romans 15, verse 4 was very deliberate about the fact that when you are taught by the scripture provides encouragement that you may have what? Hope. And that hope and everything about the scriptures is what? Is the word of God. It's not just God's word. Hallelujah. Amen. So God's word to me is not the same to you. Hallelujah. Are you getting me? Because we all find ourselves in different circumstances. And God is constantly trying to reach us. Okay? So, his word to me is not the same word to you. And it cannot be the same word to the man on your left. Hallelujah. Now, we may all be in the same season. Okay? So, two Saturdays ago, I was on the island. I was in Lekki, and we were having sports, and it was not raining. And right here, some guys were having choir practice, and it was raining cat and dog. Okay? When I moved out of Lekki, okay, when I got to Ikoyi, thereabout, then it started raining. But by the time I got to Bagada, there was no rain. Okay? Now, we all say we are in rainy season. I just want to explain something to you. We say it's a rainy season. That side, at that point, was not experiencing any rain. The rain at that time was for this place. I'm just trying to tell you why I said, because I saw some of you looking like, what's this man saying? I said that God's word to me is not the same word to you. And as I'm speaking now, all of us are hearing the same thing because we are under the same umbrella. It's the same season. For some people, it will rain. Hallelujah. Cat and dog. Because it will be like revelation to them. It will be revelation to them. So it will rain cat and dogs. They will scream in the spirit and hold on to that which they hear right now. All of us are under the same sound of God's word right now. Okay? Some people will only get a sentence, and that sentence will just be it for them. Amen. And the reason I'm saying is that he said, and I didn't say that because I just wanted to say it. The Bible says, remember the word to your servant. Hallelujah. Remember God's word to you. Remember God's word to Mrs. Sajere. Remember God's word to Ayobami, remembers God's word to Mrs. Roju. Hallelujah. Each person is speaking this thing, and it's God's word to you at that point. It's not just God's word. God's word is powerful. The one that brings revelation is the one to you. Okay? And it says, upon which you have caused me to have hope. So is that word of God to his servant at that point in time that you're relying upon? Hallelujah. Amen. You know, whilst we were growing up, some 20 years ago, and the set man would always say that for anything at all that you want to do, whether you want to eat anything, want to buy a shoe, anything, you must find scripture to hold on to. When you think, look at the way she's looking at me. When we were growing up, we were taught to pray before we eat. What's food supposed to do to you when you eat? Eh? It should make you not hungry. No, it's not. It's supposed to nourish your body and supply you with the right nutrients that you need. That hunger pang is a feeling. Okay? So it takes away the actual reason why you are feeling the hunger pang. But when you eat, and as I say, you go and eat balanced diet. So that when you eat, you have what you need. And the food that you will eat as a laborer, man that does every work, is different from the one you eat as a footballer. And it's different from the one you eat as a chorister. In case you don't know. Abi? Mm-hmm. So, he often will say, you should find God's word. So much so that when he, it's not me, I'm telling you, says my experience now, so don't come and hold me. So much so that when he is going to the barber's place, he's so praised about it that the barber does not make a mistake. Okay? That the barber doesn't make a mistake because he used to have haircuts. I mean, this is how I was born and this is how I've been all my life. I've never done fade. I've never done Bobby Brown. I've never done any style. It's just this shape. And it's going to be this shape till Jesus comes. And you will not see my son do any, because that's how we were brought up. Okay? So Stephen says he used to pray a lot, and of course. And then, so when I wanted to get married, or when I thought I wanted to get married, okay, I went to him and said, which scripture are you? I just want to marry you. Just like you're saying, you're just hungry because you want to eat food because you're just hungry. I said, you're not ready. Go back. He said, on that word that you get from the scripture, that word you get at that point when you are praying or envisaging anything to happen, is the word that will keep you on that course even when things are rough. Amen. Whether they are rough or they are good. Let me see. I don't want to tell you the word that God gave me. So, if God tells you that the just shall live by his faith for the thing that you are asking for, okay, and eventually get that thing, and it looks like it's slipping away, what he was saying, what the said man teaches is that, look, that word that he gave you at the very beginning is what is going to make you sail through to the end. So even when it looks like it's slipping away, you remember that he says, the just shall live by his faith. Amen. The hope you have is in the word that is spoken to you by God. Is in God's word to you. Hallelujah. You know, when a child is born, and we all gather, and we name it, and we say we are doing naming. I can't remember who carried me, and I can't remember who pronounced my names. I can't. So some people took that responsibility. Okay? To pronounce a name and to pronounce whatever the right direction they think they got from God. Hallelujah. In the Bible, Zechariah, the angel told him, his name shall become John. And when the angel was telling him his name, The angel was also telling him what the boy will do when he comes. When the angel was talking to Joseph, he said, you shall call him Jesus because he will come and he will save the world. And so everything that the angel was telling them was directional for the child that they were expecting. Okay? That's why it is not out of place when fathers and when you name children, it is expected that somebody has stood and received that word for that from God to propel that child on his journey in life. Okay? And then they begin to give names. And that's why Jabez refused his name. He looked at his name, I cannot be Jabez. That is a wrong thing because that name keeps working. Okay? So, and that's why I'm serving you guys today because that's my name. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So, this next verse, verse 50. So, we've established that it's God's word to you that gives you hope. It's not God's word to me that will give you hope. Hallelujah. Amen. This is my comfort in my affliction. For your word has given me life. In verse 49, it says, your word to your servant. That word is the word that has hope and is the word that have cost me 50. And is the word that has given me life. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why when you cannot wake up in a day and not have a word or a direction from God, what will be your comfort if there's affliction in the day? Are you getting what I'm saying? What will be your comfort? So you wake up and you get out. It's your right to wake up and it's your right to go out. And there's no word for that day. He says that this is my comfort in my affliction. There is no promise of no affliction. Don't miss it. Okay? Everybody talks about the promises in the scripture. Everybody is going to get up and say, I have all I need. Hallelujah. The Lord supplies all my riches according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Abi, you say every good thing about what the word of God says. Okay? But I've not found it anywhere that there will not be trouble. So I say, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Abi, it says when you pass through the fire, it will not do what? Hallelujah. So there will be fire. There will be water. It just says you won't drown. It will keep you afloat. Hallelujah. But you have to be able to get that word that will keep you afloat when there's a flood. Hallelujah. And it doesn't send the word to you during the flood. That word is a word that he sends to you well before the flood, so that when the flood comes, you have a raft, in short, to float upon. Amen. I hope I'm not losing anybody. Are you lost? If you are lost, that means there's no word for today. You have to have a word. This is my firm comfort in my affliction. Hallelujah. You know, we like speaking Christianese. Abi? Was that song good? All of us have trained that song. Forgotten that song now. Let the rich say. You know, some people tell you that song is not for them. So such people cannot read the fact, they will not read the scripture that says that when I'm weak, they won't. They'll say, I'm strong. Abi? But the Bible says, this is my comfort in my affliction. Say, why are you possessing it? No. He's telling you in verse 49 that there's a word for you. And he's not saying that affliction is all the way. He says that word gives you hope, and that word has given you life. Let's go to John. I hope I finish this thing today. If we don't finish, we continue on Sunday. John chapter 15. If you don't search out the scriptures for yourself, when somebody else searches out the scripture for you, what you should ordinarily do is what the Bereans did in the book of Acts. Okay? So once they search the scripture for you, you carry that scripture, sit down with it, and begin to masticate. You know what masticate is? Have you bought ram before that you kill the following day or 3 days' time? Have you bought one like that before? Okay, so when I was growing up, we used to kill ram. Okay? If you give birth, you kill ram. I had neighbors, you kill ram. But then we tie the ram by the doorpost. And then when you watch, in the evening, the thing will sit down and begin to, it begins to chew its cord. So I think biology taught me that they regurgitate, that they bring forth their food because they are. Have you eaten with people that are greedy before? In the same plate. And then, so they just kind of, so that's what the rams do, or the herbivores, they do that. And then when they're okay, they sit down and bring it back and properly chew it so that they can take out the nutrients they need in and then send it back. Okay. Hallelujah. That's the same thing you are supposed to do with the word of God. When it's sent to you, and when you receive it, you're going to sit back and check whether your own season is the rainfall or the drops or no rain at all. In John chapter 15, I'm going to read from verse 1. But my emphasis is will be on verse 7. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that he may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Please note verse 3. I'll come back to verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, for it shall be done for you. Hallelujah. If you go to John chapter 1 and verse 1, I don't know it. I wasn't a sharp student. It's not I'm forming sharp. When I was growing up, in the beginning, this is Remy now. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 15. Verse 3. It says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 7 says that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Hallelujah. And it says one thing. When we were reading Psalm 119, verse 50, it talks about the fact that this is life, right? And it says in John 10:10, that what? I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. The words that he speaks, he says in verse 7 of this John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you,
How does his word abide in you? Hallelujah. It's definitely not everything in the scriptures that he's talking about. Amen. Abi, do you have all of the Bible inside of you? Some people say the word of God is the Bible. So do you have all of the Bible inside of you? You are not answering me. So you can read the Bible as you are standing from beginning to the end. It says, you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Then you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Amen. When you are, when they say, where do you abide? Where do you live? Right? That's what they mean. So this is my abode. This is where I live. This is how I have my daily being. I wake up, I sleep, I do that. So he says, if you abide in me, that means on a daily basis, you abide in me, and my words abide in you. That means that the words that he spoke, that reference of Psalm 119 verse 49, that your word to your servant, okay, that word that he has given to you, if those words abide in you, you will ask what you want, what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm saying, that there are words that are specific. There's word for now, and there's specific words for everything that you are doing. That's when you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done. Because those words that they have spoken to you concerning the situation, those words abide in you. Amen. It's not everything in my house that I know. I don't know everything that is in the house, but I just know that that thing is there somewhere. Okay? But because I know it's there somewhere, the day that I need it, I'm going to get up and go to where I think it is. Okay? Pick it up. I'll use it. Hallelujah. Maybe it's difficult. Your shoes, for instance. Okay? If you're not like me, your shoes, for instance, even if you have only two, if you're wearing a pair of slippers and a pair of sandals, you know in your mind that your sandal is somewhere under the bed, but you're wearing your slippers. When you need that sandal, you go to where it is, pick it out, and use it. You and that sandal, pair of sandals, you stay in the same place. Okay? And that sandal is available for you to use as long as you go to it, pick it up, and use it. My words abide in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, that means that word is not far away from you. It is part and parcel of you. So when you have need for it, okay, you go to it and use it. It is not going to be strange to you. Amen. It's not going to be strange to you. So if I tell you, for instance, that I want to wear cassock, you know what cassock is? You don't know what cassock is? You know what cassock is? Those gowns that the priests wear, right? If I tell you, if I tell my wife now that I'm wearing cassock tomorrow, you know that she'll be in problem. Because she knows that I don't have cassock. Okay? Now, if I wake up and said I want to wear cassock, what does that mean? I'm going to have to get up, go look for cassock to buy, and I may just end up not finding that cassock to buy. Okay? Or I get there and I don't have the money. And I cannot, for that immediate use, I cannot have the cassock. Right? Because it's not within my reach. What is within your reach is what you are going to use. Amen. When God speaks to you ahead of time, that word, you are supposed to continually play that word to yourself. That's why he says, when I abide, if you abide in me, because he himself is the word. Hallelujah. Father, help me. You know St. Louis Sugar? You know St. Louis Sugar? You know St. Louis Sugar? You can't know St. Louis. Which sugar do you know? Granulated sugar. Gen Z. You know St. Louis sugar? The one in that box. the cubes. How many cubes are in it? If you know it. Eh? No? Original St. Louis. No? How many layers are there? There are three layers. So how many cubes are there? If you get it, I'll give you 5K now. If you get it, I'll give you 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Eh? Eh? 30 what? You know. I'm going to ask 5K. You told him the answer. Because you said there are three layers and there are 30 per layer. So in those days, when you put the box of St. Louis on the table and you walk away, in very short time, you see those black ants, the black one too, they will come. One will come. Then he will go. I don't know how they do it too. Whether he goes and calls them or they smell him that this guy, or maybe he makes a sound and says, oh boy, something there. Then they just come on top of. Then they used to say something then that Ungbadu, beer and no sugar. That means they are chopping life like the ant inside sugar. Because they're just sitting down in that box and there's what? Sugar all around. If it turns to the left, it's sugar. If it turns to the right, it's sugar. If it turns to the front, it's sugar. When you abide in him, you turn to the right, it's the word. You turn to the left, it's the word. And it's that word, when he abides in you, there's no point that you're inside sugar if you cannot taste it. And the only reason why it will draw the other hands to you, the first hand will draw the other hands, is because I am sure if you go and check science, maybe they send out some scents and these guys know that, there's sugar there. Now, the man inside sugar, turning left, right, and center, is abiding inside sugar. If he doesn't open his mouth and taste sugar, there's no sugar inside him. I abide, if you abide in me, so find yourself so that you are the ant now. If you want to vex, you are the ant now inside the St. Louis box. Abi, abide in me. Me is red letter of Christ, Abi, is red letters. That me is referring to John 1:1. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it now says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. So that me is Word. Hallelujah. And that Word has broken down words. So in the corporate world, you say there's something that you call work breakdown. Abi? So you have work and then you break it down into small work. But it's still the same. Every small work is going to come out for the whole work. So these small words are coming out of the Word himself. And he says, and my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Amen. Anybody that's in Christ cannot desire anything outside the will of God. Look and say, hey, what if I desire? No. He has said it categorically. I'm very direct. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, that means by once you satisfy those two conditions, the will of God is not far away from you. Because His will is made known in his word. Abi? That's why they tell us don't joke anyhow. Because the words you say is easy to locate you. Your will is known in your words. Hallelujah. If you don't mean anything, don't say it. If you mean it, you say it. Amen. So he says, and whatever you desire, it shall be done for you. This, let's go back to Romans 15, verse 4. When everybody talks about David, or you talk about Moses, oftentimes we lose focus. Oftentimes, I'm not saying all the time, sometimes we lose focus on the fact that they were men. So if they erred, they were just men and they were erring. And at the same time, these men showed us the end that God intended when they walked with God. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible records of David. It says, I found a man that is after my heart. Yet some people sit and say, David was a very bad person. He took Bathsheba. He did this one. He did that one. Yet the same God that we are holding on to says, I found a man that is after my heart. Hallelujah. Just like the way the Israelites chastised Moses. And they were saying, you want to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? Meanwhile, that was the man that God will use to deliver them from the land, from slavery. Those ways are not our ways. Okay? But we need to get to that point where we are living in Him and we are also gleaning from Him. So we live in Him like the ant in the St. Louis sugar, and then we taste it. You know, so if you want to know whether those ants have been inside St. Louis box, just remove the cubes at the base. You will see granulated sugar. Because they would have nibbed at it, okay, and then the cube begins to drop off. Okay? I've never seen any ant die of too much sugar. Have you seen anyone? You cannot die of too much of God's word. So man, why are they always talking God's word? We come on Thursday, they will say we should listen on Tuesday. Then Sunday, they will say there's a prayer school. Then they will say there's Bible study. Blah, 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 blah. I have never seen any ant die of too much sugar. Rather, when the ant has seen sugar, it draws other ants onto it. Scriptures was written for our learning. That's why you cannot find God. You cannot say you find God and men are not drawn to Him by you. Just know today, just know that my analogy for you today, you are the ant in the St. Louis box. I don't even know if they make it anymore. I've not seen it in a long time. Amen. We draw Romans 15 verse 4. It says that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures. It is very comforting to note that God speaks to us. I think it's Psalm 68. Psalm 68, if I'm not wrong, yeah. Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Selah. He daily loads us with benefits. God's benefit is not palliative. Hallelujah. You know what palliative does? It suits it for a while. And then, after that, you can continue with your life. He says, He daily loads us with benefits. And the benefits are in the Word. The scriptures, they give us comfort. Because they teach us patience through the stories that we read in them. Amen. My favorite story in the Bible is the story of Joseph. Joseph in prison. There was hope for him. The butler and the baker, they came, they were disturbed. Joseph was in prison for no just cause. So there's enough turbulence in his mind. There should be enough turbulence in his mind. That, you know, why am I here? Just because I'm doing the right thing. Now, some people now come, two people now say they dreamt, and then they can't, there's not, he said, the Bible says, if you read the Bible, it says, their countenance was not good. But they didn't, they didn't go to Joseph. They went to the prison warder or whatever. The prison warder. Allah was like, so Joseph asked, why are they troubled? The one now said, these guys, they are dreaming. In his own turbulence, he could see that two people were not okay. Amen. That means whatever he was going through was secondary. And then he offered, he said, okay, is it not for God? He said, is it not for God to interpret dream? Meaning that if you have God and you face difficult situations like these dreams, you will not be bothered. You will just go back to him and say, you know what? Explain the dream now. But a man that does not have a rapport with God, so first he must abide in him. Abide in him. Because if you don't have that rapport, you cannot have that confidence that it is for God to interpret dreams. It wasn't even about the fact that they had dreamed about the moon and the star. No. Because this was many years down the line. It was about his focus on the fact that these things do not go beyond God. Hallelujah. Okay. We said to him, okay, Genesis 40 verse 8. They said to him, we each have a dream and there's no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Is he God? Well, what was his first sentence? Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. So if they tell him the dream, he has stood in the place of God. Oh. Abi, let's go to the next sentence. It says, then the chief butler told him his dream to him, and Joseph said to him, behold, in my dream, he told his dream to Joseph and said to him, behold, in my dream, a vine was before me, and in the vine were branches. It was though it budded, it blossoms, and it clusters, and brought forth grape fruits. Then the Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them in Pharaoh's hand and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hands. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of the dream, of it. Go back to that verse. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Then go back to that one. Verse what? And then Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. So who is God now? Hallelujah. The only reason why Joseph could tell you that the interpretations belong to God, tell me, and then he says, this is the interpretation. It's because he was abiding in God and the word was in him. And he said, he didn't have Christ. In Psalm 119 that we hear, says, when your words come to me, amen. Hallelujah. This is what happens. No, don't worry. Let's go back to Genesis. This is what happens when you abide in God, in him, and his words abide in you. And then Joseph said, have you played freeze before? You know that game? You don't know it? Freeze. Just freeze. The rabbit that made me freeze. And I want you to go to that verse where he said he interpreted. Exactly. And this is the interpretation of this. The 3 days, branches, blah, blah, blah. Okay? Continue. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift your head and restore you to your place, and you put Pharaoh's cup in his hands according to the former when you were his butler. The next one, but remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. I'm showing you this so that you know that Joseph himself had a condition. But it's in his condition. The word of God was still very much on the inside of him. And he was still very much with God. The next verse. For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of Hebrews, and also I have known nothing here. They should put me in this dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good. Hallelujah. So to the butler, Joseph said, is the interpretation not for God? And then he interpreted and said, they will restore in 3 days. Then the chief baker said, saw that it was good. He said to him, Joseph, I also was in my dream, and there were 3 white baskets on my head. It was to belong. And then in the upper room, baskets were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. I started from the fact that there are seasons. In a season, it can be raining in Lekki and not raining in Bagada. The two of them are in the same season. Joseph said, it's not interpretation for God. So that's the season. So they were before him and they're going to interpret. If Joseph was not with God and God with him, he would have told the guy, just like the same, what he told Baker, said, no, then he will restore you. But he said, this is the interpretation of it. Meaning that at that point in time, Joseph was attentive in the spirit. They didn't tell him now and say, okay, go back, we'll come. At least the Bible didn't record that. He was on spot. And then he said that, so the answer that said, this is the interpretation of it, the 3 baskets that 3 days, within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head. he says, within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from your from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. Now it came to pass on the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all the servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hands, just as God said. Eh? I probably am telling you just like God said, because God said those words to Joseph. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Romans 15 verse 4 says we learn patience. Through patience, we learn patience, okay? And then we learn comfort. Hallelujah. Many things we learn in this story, but we have run out of time and I need to stop service now. Many things we learn from this story, but it's important for you to know that Joseph would not have interpreted any dream if he was working outside of God. Hallelujah. And because God's word was with him, he understood that what at that point in time, the words that he was speaking to the butler and to T.G. Baker were God's word. He had nothing. He just put in flesh and said, just remember me. But he didn't press it. Hallelujah. Because the Bible records that the chief butler forgot about him for a very long time. And it's when you rely on men, they will forget you. Don't ever think that men will remember. They will forget you. But when God steps into your case, he will remember you, and the same men that have forgotten you will be the one that you will raise. You know, certain men have been teaching us about relationships that don't burn bridges. If you go to a man today and he turns you down, don't burn bridges. Say, I'm not going to ever talk to that man again in my life. In fact, if he's coming this way, I'm going that way. No. Because tomorrow, God will just use that same person. If Joseph had sent the water to the butler several times, and he had been persisting, the guy could just have gone to Pharaoh and said, well, guys, because he now is a free man. But he did not. When he came to Joseph's time, God put that remembrance in the heart of the butler when Pharaoh said he had a dream. Amen. But you know what? If when Pharaoh said, please look for that part of the scripture. If when Pharaoh said, I have a dream, and the butler remembered Joseph, and they came to Joseph and said, you have to go before Pharaoh. He wants you to interpret something. And he gets, and they get there, and Joseph had left, he's no longer abiding in God. There was never going to be freedom for him. Because he had interpreted dream for the baker and the butler, and they had had their freedom and their sentence, okay, did not mean that he would stop abiding in God because he was still in prison. His circumstance and his condition did not dictate to him what he would do with God. And look at what he had to say to Pharaoh again. Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Go back to the verse before. And you know why he said, "It is not in me." He said it because, and Pharaoh said, "I have a dream, and there's no one who can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it." He was taken away. Pharaoh was beginning to put Joseph in God's place. Said about you can interpret it, and that was why Joseph did not tell him this time that it is for God to interpret. What did Joseph tell him? He said, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." And whose mouth did God use? The mouth of Joseph. Let's rise on our feet. We'll continue on Sunday. The scriptures, Romans 15, verse 4. And so when you read stories in the Bible, okay, there's a learning. There's a patience to be learned. And there's a comfort that will be drawn from that patience. Because on your journey, you will need that word. It says, "For everything that was written in past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures," endurance taught in the scriptures, "and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." Don't give up. When the butler regained his freedom and did not remember Joseph, Joseph did not give up. It was the same thing that he was found doing when he met the butler, and then when he was brought before Pharaoh, that led to his freedom. And that's why we can talk about Joseph today. Because abiding in God and abiding in God's word, he made us see the end that God intended. God is talking to someone today. You have to persevere. You have to learn patience and endurance that are taught by the scriptures, not anywhere else. Patience and endurance that is taught in the scripture. And you have to take encouragement that they provide so that you may have hope. Hallelujah. It looks like you have given up and say everything is hopeless. But if you will take the scripture as it is and learn from it, that encouragement will give you hope. Hallelujah. And when God comes calling, He will find you where He has put you. Father, we give you all the praise and glory. Thank you for your word. We can never have enough of your word, and we will never run out of it. Hallelujah. Thank you, because even as you strike a chord of intention to abide in you this evening, so shall it be. Your words in us and us in you, Lord. Thank you, everlasting King of glory. We give you all the praise, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.